Now, here's your host of Sound Off, Brad Bennett.
All righty, we are back, folks, with the afternoon edition. And, of course, you know how to get a hold of us. If you want to get on the air with Let Your Voice Be Heard, you can simply dial us up at 218-722-0839, 722-0839. If you're doing that from a smartphone, you can either hit the call button and call us. Kenny will answer the phone, and we'll ask you what you want to talk about, get you in the pod. Or if you decide you don't want to talk, you're a little shy, but you want to get your message out there, you can hit the text button on your smartphone and just text us, and it will go through to that same number. Kenny will get the texts, and from time to time, he'll read a text that he finds interesting that he thinks might be related to the program. So be aware there are a couple of different ways you can get your voice heard here in the Northland. Now, into this story. This morning, the Minnesota Take, which is this great site I go to every morning, gives you information about Minnesota. Well, today they had information on the graduation rates. Today, the Department of Education released the class of 2023's graduation rate data. The rate was 83.3%, or 58,293 new graduates in the state of Minnesota last year, which represented about a half a percent decrease in the four-year graduation rate compared to the classes of 2022. Now, that was about 3,874 students that had earned their diploma, graduated 5, 6, or 7 years after beginning high school. The small decrease in total graduation rates is driven in part by an increase in the unknown rate, which tracks students incorrectly reported or not reported as enrolled elsewhere. In other words, kids move, parents move from one area to another, one school district to another. Sometimes they don't always give information about the student, where he went to school last. Graduation rates for black students declined from a large increase in 2022. The five-year trend for the student group is still trending upward, but it's only from 69.9%. So there's a problem there. Now, as they state, Minnesota Education stated in this report, Minnesota schools are poised to get more money and more flexibility to boost the state's new approach to teaching reading. In other words, they got a new way to teach you reading. I thought reading was already locked in. I thought everything had been discovered and decided on what was the best way to teach children how to read. Schools have a few years to implement an advanced-based literacy program that resembles phonics after the READ Act passed last year. Now the READ Act 2.0 is making its way through the legislature this year. It would add about $40 million to the $75 million appropriated in 2023, including money for substitute teachers or extra time for teachers to do the training. Several school superintendents applauded the approach, but said that they're struggling with the amount of funding just as a lot of districts are running up against budget shortfalls. And smaller districts ask for more flexibility to meet their different needs. You know, and then you go on from there, and the schools are saying that teachers and other salaried district employees get paid when an e-learning day is announced, but hourly employees like paraprofessionals do not. So they want to address that somehow as well. Here's my question. Where is the accountability? You know, in business, if a business says, okay, you know, we're going to invest $40 million on new technology to make our widgets a little better, a little quicker, if in fact that doesn't happen, if they invest that $40 million And in a year or two, they don't see any efficiencies in the making of the widgets. They drop that program. But you never see that in education. Where when they put almost $2 billion of new money into education last year, where were the accountability guidelines? Where were the things that said, okay, we're going to give the school districts this much money. We want to see increase in reading. We want to see increase in math scores. And you're going to be held accountable to do that with this extra money. And if we don't see that, that money may disappear, may go to a different pot of money. But we don't seem to see that. And then they wonder why we had a report out just a couple of days ago that state of Minnesota has lost something like 10,000 students in the public school system. Well, some of that could be because parents are having less kids, but these are all problems that the school district is going to have to meet up to and address. Because if you're getting less kids, you're also getting less money, because the money comes to the school district on a per person head count. And so that could go away. Now, granted, some parents, more and more, it seems like, are deciding, hey, there's a great deal of homeschooling programs out there that are pretty well put together, very professionally put together. And we could do that with our kids at home if there is a parent there to administrate the program. So all I'm saying is that with this much money going into state funding for education, there should be and should have to be accountability for that money. There has to be, show me the improvement that's going to happen by giving you all this extra money, teachers' unions. Well, with that said, with my rambling, let's move along to Tom from Port Wing before we have to go on this first break here. Tom, good afternoon. How are you over in Port Wing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I wanted to talk about the subject of climate change.
Yeah.
And it's very relevant to what we're experiencing right here and now. I go back all the way, Brad, to the days when I was very young and they would send us to the library, and there were periodicals there that talked about global cooling and the coming ice age and all of that kind of stuff. And then I got a little older and I stopped believing in global cooling and Santa Claus at the same time. And, you know, the thing was, nobody was making any money at that point. And today, off of climate change and global warming, they really are. And I'll tell you what happened to me. Last fall, the insurance carrier for my homes was involved in a merger with another insurance company. So I faithfully went to the meeting, and guess what I heard all over the place from both these insurance companies? Yeah, I heard all about climate change, and climate change was causing them to pay out bigger and bigger amounts. There were claims that were coming in because of climate change. And, you know, these people were duly steeped in this climate change. And so much so that they could not be shook from that position. And so I questioned them here and there, but I didn't realize it until after the merger. And then I got my insurance bill for these homes. Yeah. And all of them had gone way up. This insurance company, after they merged, called me up to see how happy I was and everything. I was not happy. And the reason I wasn't, because of this, they claim that it's all about climate change and it's causing them a $100,000 home gets knocked over by the storms that we never had before. And then people have to go and rebuild, and they're paying out $150,000 for a home. And nowhere, Brad, was it factored in the inflation that this company or this country has seen over the last, oh, I don't know, 3-4 years under this administration.
Yeah.
You know, with the inflation reduction.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yes. No concern about inflation, but because we're having more storms, and are we really, or is it trending?
Well, here's the thing, Brad. plywood. You know, plywood used to cost, $24 a sheet. Well, now these builders have to come in, you know, and the cost of all skyrocketed because of climate change. But really, a sheet of plywood costs a lot more now, not because of climate change, but because of inflation. You know,
right.
When you go to build a house today, all of those plumbing fixtures and all these different things that you use to build a house cost a lot more, not because the temperature has gone up 1.5 degrees, but the insurance companies are hiding behind this. So
right.
What the point I'm really trying to make, Brad, is we may think back to the days when these were academic arguments, and, you know, I enjoy the debate with people on, you know, everything from global warming to acid rain to the ozone scare, all of these things. But this really has dollars taken out of your pocket now because
yep.
companies are saying we're 100% believers in climate change. Both these insurance companies, when they merged, they were on the same page, and they knew they were going to rake us over the coals for higher premiums because we also were believers. Most of the people there were believers in climate change. They were all nodding their heads like those.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, may I just make a statement, Tom, because I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right. When my wife and I lived in Florida for 15 years or whatever, most of the year, when we first went down there and bought our first home, I thought, oh, Kath, the insurance rates down here just got to be astronomical with all the storms and stuff, hurricanes and stuff. They weren't. They were considerably less than they were. Now, granted, we lived in modular homes that were built probably for less than homes up in this area. They weren't built as sturdy as, and they didn't need to be. They didn't have basements and things. But when a storm would go through, you would see very limited increases just in regional areas where the storms had gone through. And yet all of a sudden, everybody's rates started going up. And why did they claim they were going up? Exactly what you just said. Well, climate change is causing more storms. We're seeing the water temperatures in the ocean warming up, which is creating more hurricanes. It really wasn't. We weren't having any more than normal. But that was the reason that they were using for the increases at that time.
Yeah, we're being hosed, and we're being hosed big time through the insurance companies, and other businesses, too, are giving us the same spiel. Because now, as President Biden has said, the debate is over.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but I got a fact.
It's very... Very interesting, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell you what, though, the debate is not over. Out in California, out in I think it was Bakersfield or one of the big areas out in California. No, it was over by San Francisco, someplace where they were the first area to outlaw new hookups for gas stoves. And they thought this was going to be the way to drive people away from using fossil fuels like gas. We're not going to allow. You're going to have electric stoves. Nobody seems to stop to think even for a moment that if you put all the gas stoves on the electrical grid, along with all the cars that people are supposedly going to be switching over to or have to because of Joe Biden's administration edicts, well, you know what? The grid will crash. There will not be enough electricity in that grid to use. But so what happened is I have a story this morning that indicates that this area of California has dropped that idea now because they got enough flack from restaurants and owners of homes that said, you know what? I like to cook on gas. Gas is much more controllable. I like, especially restaurants. Restaurants said, hey, we got to cook our customers' foods on gas. They like it cooked that way, that we can control the temperatures. And so this particular in area of California that was one of the first to outlaw gas stoves, has now turned around and said, we made a mistake. We're not going to do that anymore. I wonder what's going to happen. You look at this breakdown in California, not in California, but in Baltimore, when they had this ship run into the bridge. I started thinking right away, what are they burning as far as fuels in these ships? And you know what? I think we should talk about that a little bit when we come back after this first break. But it is that time that we got to take our first break of hour number two. And when we come back, there's a huge story out this morning. Shipping industry is facing fuel dilemma in bid to cut emissions. Some of the same reasons that Tom talked about. We'll talk about them when we come back.
KDAL, relaxing, calm, jazz. Time is 12:28. We'll bring down that relaxing, calm jazz music. And Brad, on the phone, we do have Jerry from London Road Rental.
Jerry, how are things out there this fine day? I bet all of a sudden you got a huge bunch of calls for, hey, you got any snow blowers left?
Actually, we got a couple of them. It didn't really do much. You know, the people are pretty... It's going to go away fast, and everybody knows that. So
yeah, that's true.
So they were most people were totally aware that was going to happen. So we're just waiting for spring to get here. We're just excitedly waiting for spring to get here. We're starting to see things move a little bit. You know, the people are getting antsy. The phones are ringing a lot more. So we're just waiting around, seeing what's happening. So slowly bringing things in. We got some new skid steer attachments that I got that are being shipped today. We got a bunch of new scaffolds being shipped today. The propane guy stopped in and filled up the propane tank. So you guys need to get your 20-pounders filled, get them ready for doing the barbecuing and that's coming up. Bring them down. We'll fill them up. We'll put actually 20 pounds of propane in a 20-pound tank instead of 15 like you get at these exchange places. So that's one of the things people got to keep in mind when they're redoing the propane tanks. We actually put 20 pounds in them. So, no, it's waiting for spring to get here. They're still cleaning, rebuilding things, getting everything ready to go. So,
you know, there's not going to be much frost in the ground, is there, when spring does get here? I mean, very little.
There was no frost in the ground. I was plowing my driveway, and when the plow left the blacktop and it hit the grass, it rolled it up like a sod cutter. And it was amazing.
Ooh.
To see. There was 2 inches of icy stuff and actually a void between the ground and the snow, what was underneath there, because the ground is not frozen at all. So, no, we're going to, when it goes away here tomorrow, the next day, when temperatures start getting up by next Wednesday, Thursday, it'll be gone. The good news is we really needed the moisture in the ground so that we don't get a giant forest fire and so our lakes get restocked, you know, get stocked up with water again. We needed this bad. So I'm glad it came when it did, so it didn't stop the construction, because most of the contractors and homeowners, we're still in winter in our minds up here. Winter is never over in March. We're hoping, in fact, it goes back to things.
Never far from the mind.
That'll start be moving. Remember, if you plant tomatoes before June 1st or June 4th, you will plant them twice, because they always freeze right around that time. So, But yes, I'm sure as soon as the snow melts now, the rotor tillers will start growing. I know that I'm going to mow my lawn as soon as this goes, because over the winter, the stupid lawn kept coming awake and growing.
Oh, yeah.
So the lawn stuff will be going like crazy. The aerators, the dethatchers, that'll start ratting real fast. So the post-hole augers will go again. Like, say, we got some brand-new hydraulic augers in this year to give the old ones a break. They still worked fine, but they were getting old and looking a little ragged, so we bought some new ones. All the log splitters, I do believe, got new motors put on them now. So it just everything should be ready for spring, ready for all those projects coming on. So when you're planning your project, give us a call so we can reserve things ahead of time for you. Get you the right product, the right tool to get your project done. The barbecue stuff is spring, people will start doing more barbecue. And we actually did see here last weekend a little surge in barbecue spices. I was really surprised to see. And I guess that's people just antsy for spring to get here since we had so much snow.
I think so, yeah.
We sold a lot of that all of a sudden. And I think it was just spring fever has set in. We're tired of winter and the little bit of winter we had, and everybody wants to get their projects going. So, and you can always find us at 1710 London Road here. You can do it the old-fashioned way, come see us face-to-face, or you can find us on the internet at londonroadrental.com or give us a call at 218-728-2940.
All righty, Jerry. Thank you so much, Jerry. Okay. Jerry from London Road Rental, which, by the way, they have, all the great equipment that you're going to need to get your jobs done. But they also have great quantities of great dog food, pet food, and they've got those Traeger grills and all the spices and everything to go along with them to make your whole year-round barbecuing effort much more enjoyable as well. We've got to go to CBS News. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Sam Bankman-Fried hearing, that or sentencing that just took place. I'll bring you up to date on everything there that has been found. He's going to go to jail for a long time. We'll be right back.
KDAL.
KDAL time is 12:37, 28 degrees, sunny in Superior. Winds are out of the west at 18. Wind chill, 15 degrees. And Brad, the coldest air in the lower 48 this morning was found in three cities in Minnesota.
Of course.
Yeah. one above, coldest in the lower 48 in Appleton and Benson, Minnesota, located in Swift County, and also Painesville. Painesville is in Stearns County. All three locations reported one above, coldest in the lower 48.
Wow.
Now, you and Tom were talking about climate change, global warming and stuff.
Right.
And I found something that came from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Very well-respected institution.
Maybe. Anyways, will climate change drive humans extinct or destroy civilization?
Oh, my God.
And the answer is a resounding no. However, they did state, and they worded it this way, but unless we act quickly, and I want to analyze this statement, but unless we act quickly, does that mean right away? Does that mean within a week or two or a month or a year? What does that mean, unless we act quickly to stop warming the planet? Are humans the only reason that we see data that reflects the planet warming? But I want to finish the statement, Brad. Unless we act quickly to stop warming the planet, there will be very severe consequences for many, many people.
Like what?
Now, come on. How vague can you get, MIT?
Exactly.
There will be severe consequences for many, many people. First, the good news.
Nobody asked them that. Like, okay, so what? We won't be able to grow carrots or what? What exactly?
This is why this is hard for some to grasp. And I'm in this camp, Brad, because I have looked at some of the data. And we can look at some things that there is an upward trend of warming temperatures.
Oh, there is. And, look at the growth of the population of humankind on this planet.
Bingo.
And they do have some impact in it.
Absolutely.
When you put twice as many people on a planet as you used to have just maybe 30 years ago, those people are going to cook more. They're going to burn more to keep their homes heated. They are going to use more product.
Yeah.
And that will, over time, raise the core temperature a little bit, unless we slide into another ice age or something.
Well, and you can look at data over centuries, really, and you can see that upward and downward, that upward and downward, that uptrend, yes, that downtrend. We know, Brad, and we've said this over and over, there used to be glaciers here, glaciers up to a mile thick, and then they melted, they retreated back. And then we went back into another glacial period and came back out and went back into another one. So this has been a trend. Again, I'm not at the point where we need to become San Francisco and California and stop using gas stoves. We can't cook pizza in a coal-fired stove. Otherwise, we're going to cease to exist. And again, the scientists say this is not going to cause humanity to... we're not facing an apocalypse of humanity. It's just that this will be very severe consequences for many, many people.
What they won't tell you is that a lot of the MIT-educated coneheads out there will tell you that the only real way we can address all of this is we got to get rid of about half the people on the planet.
There you go, Brad. And that is a part of this conversation for some of these wackos. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
now are you and Jan want to volunteer to get on that train? Because I'm not. You know, I'm not volunteering to get on that train. I don't want to go until I'm ready to go.
Exactly. No. And nobody. This is ridiculous. Cows are a big cause of global warming. Well, Brian, what about dogs and cats? I mean, if cows are a big source of CO, then what about dogs and cats? Should we get rid of our pets?
People, Kenny, the people that are pushing the cow theory are the veggies of the world, the vegetarians. They just as soon do away with cows because it meets their political agenda to become vegetarians eat tofu.
Yeah. Again, I don't fall into the climate zealot range of all these vast extreme changes we need to make, because Brad, nobody can tell anybody what the temperature needs to come down to, how we're going to get it down to that temperature, and how we're going to keep it at that temperature. There's no data that supports any of that science. None.
Well, let me take a shot at it. I'm going to figure this out myself. I think if we would all men and all women on the planet would just start using roll-on deodorant instead of spray deodorant, we could keep the temperature down maybe half a degree.
I love it. So we can keep our gas stoves. We can keep our gas-burning cars and lawnmowers.
Yes.
As long as we use roll-on deodorant.
Roll-on deodorant instead of spray deodorant.
Oh, yes. Brad, that's brilliant.
Cuts the aerosols out totally.
Again, this is from MIT, folks. There will be very severe consequences for many, many people.
See, I know that CBS did kind of steal my thunder on Brinkman here a little bit, but what do you think about this charging that has been done this morning in New York? A federal judge this morning ruled that Sam Bankman had said that he was, he thought he should spend 6.5 years in prison.
Okay.
I didn't intentionally do anything wrong, and I deserve no more than 6.5 years in jail.
And that's why he fled to, where did he flee to? The Bahamas or something, or the Caymans?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Well, he was sentenced to 25 years. I don't think
25 years.
He won't do the full. He won't do the full 25.
Well,
if he survives.
The judge in the case, that's it, see. I mean, he's going to go to middle security prison out in the San Francisco Bay Area so his parents can visit him. Judge also ordered forfeiture of $11.2 billion, but did not order restitution, saying, So who's going to get the 11.2? If the judge ordered forfeiture of $11.2 billion, if in fact they can find that Sam Bankman-Fried has that money stashed away in some offshore account somewhere or something, who's going to get that money? The way he's got this set up, the judge has it, the government will get it because there's no restitution to the customers. Because the judge said in the hearing, it's impractical because there are so many victims. It's impractical to try to pay the victims back because there are so many of them. While the defendants the defendant's assertion that FX or FTX customers and creditors will be paid in full is misleading. See, Bankman-Fried always in the court case tried to say nobody lost money. Nobody actually lost money in this case. Well, here's who lost the money. First of all, customers lost $8 billion. Investors into the equity of the FTX account lost $1.7 billion. And lenders to the Alameda Research hedge fund that Bankman-Fried founded lost another $1.3 billion. So there was a ton of money that was lost here. And he says the only fault he has, he said, I didn't intentionally do anything wrong, and I don't deserve that much time in jail. He said, I used sophisticated analytics to try to keep track of the state of my finances and suggested that subordinates, you know, my underlings, without my knowledge, were made costly mistakes, and it's their fault.
Yeah. You know, I will say this, Brad. I don't know that the sentence does fit the crime. Maybe it does. I'm not going to try to make that judgment. But we hear a lot of cases of rape and murder that don't even come close to a 25-year sentence.
Yeah.
And those things really do irk me. By the way, Bernie Madoff...
And they really were criminal, yeah.
Yeah.
This could have very easily just been a fairly young guy that didn't have a lot of experience that found himself making just a ton of money and couldn't keep up with the process. But, I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. He knew he was doing wrong.
I think so. And for the record, Bernie Madoff was sentenced to 150 years in prison.
Yeah.
He only served 12 and then he died.
Well, how old is Bankman-Fried? What's his
30,
age, you know?
Was he 39, I think I read? 32 years old.
Well, by the time he gets out of prison,
I don't think he serves 25 years. We'll see.
Probably not. Listen, we've got Phil up the North Shore that wants to talk climate change or has a story about climate change. Phil, good afternoon. How are you today?
Hey, Brad, I'm good. Real quickly, can I comment about the Bankman-Fried story?
Sure, please.
I'll just point a couple things out real quickly. I just heard that he was sentenced to 25 years in a minimum security prison in the San Francisco area so he can be close to his family so they can visit him, okay?
Kind of nice, huh?
Derek Chauvin did not get the same treatment.
No. That's very true.
And also, Brad, the other thing, too, is that we've had a couple of parents that were held responsible for what their kid did with a gun, okay? And his parents have got a lot of money. They're real well. And I wonder if maybe his parents, because there might be some, you know, that they knew a little bit here. But I'll just throw that out there. But again, he's just a fall guy. But, Brad, if I could comment about the climate change stories.
Sure.
We recently had three university presidents called to testify about anti-Semitism on college campuses. Two of the three presidents were grilled real hard, and they were forced to resign. The third president got no pressure, no press whatsoever. Brad, do you know what university that was?
I think I know, but was it Yale?
It was MIT.
Oh, MIT. Okay.
The reason I bring that up, Brad, is because MIT is in on the gig. And like I've said before, I'm going to follow up on what Tom said. When the people of the United States finally realize how badly they've been duped, they're going to be really upset. Because climate change is being used to control the people. All of this stuff. You don't have to even figure out the numbers, Brad. They're controlling the weather. I'm a weatherman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we even heard yesterday, did we not, Kenny, during Let the Sawdust Fly from the loggers in Virginia, where the guy very pointed out, and I've read the same thing in a number of stories. Look, if Biden got us all to switch to plug-in cars, we would completely crash the grid. And they want to convert all the houses heating with gas to electric. Well, that would crash the grid as well. So somebody's not telling us the truth here. And I
don't think anybody knows the truth.
Options.
I don't think there is any truth, Brad. I think they're throwing darts at a dartboard. I really do.
They are. They are. They're just, it's like they used to say, Kenny, throw enough crap on the wall, some of it's going to stick.
That too.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to take a break, folks. We'll be right back.
KDAL time is 12:53. Let's go to Canal Park. Let's go to the Army Corps of Engineers. 31 degrees. Winds are out of the west at 16. Even with the sunshine we have and 30 degrees, that wind is going to make us feel a little more chillier. You know, the wind chill, Brad? The wind chill.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we got that going on. What was I going to say? Twins baseball. We've got Twins baseball 2:30 this afternoon on the pregame. 2:30, 3:10 is the scheduled first pitch. And that means that Markley Van Camp and Robbins will be preempted today due to Twins baseball.
Well, you know, Kenny, we've been talking a lot this morning about the climate and how they're going to address that. I haven't even gotten into the story about shipping industry. They want to increase, the government now is trying to force the increase to pressure decarbonizing the regulatory or the use of cleaner fuels on large vessels. This container ship evidently found that they were having some trouble with their controlling mechanisms and how the ship was run. Well, they recently had the 81st meeting of the Maritime Environmental Protection Committee. And they're drafting, or they're at least trying to draft, a net zero framework for emissions. If they want to shift to cleaner burning fuels, well, the kind of fuels they burn now are almost like sludge in these container ships. They burn a very heavy type of product, but very low cost. And if they switch around, we could have lots of differences. But I want to get into this part of this, because the car situation came up yesterday, even in Let the Sawdust Fly, the logging show. There are now, a report out this morning said that there are now 8 states have announced plans to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars in the next decade. California, which has been at the forefront of this shift, has already adopted the Advanced Clean Car legislation, which will put a complete ban on new sales of gas-powered cars by 2023, or 2035, I should say. Other states, we've got Rhode Island, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Washington, and the District of Columbia have also made similar commitments, even here in Minnesota. Governor Walz has made a commitment that we do the same or similar type of things. Well, under the Advanced Clean Air legislation, zero emission vehicles would be allowed to be sold in those states. That's all. How's that going to sell to the general public? Well, right now, the general public isn't buying in to plug-in cars. A lot of the plug-in cars are sitting on lots, partially because the cost of them are so high. But secondly, they just don't like the dependability, especially in cold area states like Minnesota. They don't work too well in those areas. Americans will still have the option to buy used or secondhand gas vehicles and will not be forced to take their gas-powered cars off the road. So, you know what that tells me, Kenny? That tells me that we're going to see this country, these 8 states, are going to look like Cuba. You're going to have people with old cars that are going to be buying new parts off of Yahoo or off of Amazon or wherever. And you're going to see people keeping their old cars running as long as they possibly can because they don't want to convert over.
Well, I kind of like that idea. I think that's awesome.
I do too.
You know, yeah. You see some of those pictures out of Cuba, and they're driving around in 57 Chevys, and they're in great shape.
Yeah.
My understanding is that they manufacture their own parts to keep them going.
I've heard the same thing, that when they can't get parts, they have machine shops that have a lot of advanced technologies, and they hammer out the parts themselves. Well, you know, in addition to these fully electric vehicles, hybrids are also playing a significant role in reducing emissions. But you hit it right on the head, Kenny. At what level do we have to get to that we're going to see a change in the temperature enough to justify us getting rid of our gas-burning stoves, our gas-burning cars, our gas-burning lawnmowers,
and we will,
whatever.
You're right, Brad, and we will always give credit to Tim from a couple of harbors who a few years ago, maybe many years ago now, when we were on that other radio station and we have these conversations, what did he say? He said, who controls the thermostat? What is the temperature that it's set at that's optimal that it comes down to? And how do we know it gets down to that temperature and stays there and doesn't keep dropping and freeze us?
Oh,
I don't know if he said all that, but, you know, who controls the thermostat, Brad? How do we control that ebb and flow of that temperature? The temperatures are rising. We got to lower them. Oh, whoa, wait.
And what temperature do we want to be at?
Well, that's the thing. There's no data that supports any of that nonsense.
No.
Oh.
Well, let's keep going here this morning. We got our end of our hour number two, but we'll be back very shortly. If you want to get involved this morning, give us a call. We'd love to hear your stake, 218-722-0839. And we'll be back with hour number three very shortly here on Sound Off on 610 KDL Radio.